Every 5 minutes, someone dies while waiting for a compatible donor heart, liver, or kidney. On a remote island in Lake Superior, a team of geneticists strive to engineer an animal with human-compatible organs, thereby saving millions of lives. But these ancestors are not the docile herd animals they envision. Instead, the project spawns something big, something evil, something hungry. Ancestor by number one New York Times bestselling novelist Scott Sigler is available for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels.
Hey, guys. I'm Kat.
And on this episode, we had a fan reach out to us saying that their husband turned them onto the podcast, and she's known as the Little Witch in her family. So, Melanie, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I am obsessed. I listen to it every day. I've almost caught up to every episode. And
that's
as someone who's experienced, I actually made a note. I think I'm now up to 26 different experiences, paranormal experiences. I love hearing about others' ghost stories, and it's just so fun.
That's so cool. And based on like first impressions, we can see you over Zoom. I know our listeners can't. I don't think I would ever call you Little Witch, but I'm very excited to hear because you're just so sweet and smiley. And I mean, witches can be sweet and smiley, but I'm very excited.
Good witch, not a bad witch.
Right, good point. But I'm excited to hear these stories.
Thanks.
Well, before we jump into your stories, of course, we want to know where you fall on the believo-meter. Zero, meaning you don't believe in ghosts, and 10, ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
15.
Okay.
Wow. You're like, yes, this is the episode to end your podcast. They are real, is what you're saying.
I mean, it would be really hard for me not to believe in ghosts with everything that I've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
We have only had one or two other people that have broken the scale, so we'll jump in and see what makes you such a believer. I know you have a vast array of stories. Why don't we kind of start early on, you know, when you started to realize, hey, I'm a little different than everybody else. I may have some gifts here that allow me to interact with the supernatural.
Sure. So there was one when I was in college. I was part of an organization, and I was at the University of Kansas, and we had a friend who was at Haskell, Indian Nation University. And so we were over in one of the dorms and we were studying, and all of a sudden the lights went out, and we could hear the footsteps of little kids running through the hallways. And given the history of that school, it's not surprising. And so it was one of those things that I looked at her and she looked at me and we said, did you just hear what I heard? And she said, yep. We tried to go back to studying. And of course, it's like 10 o'clock at night. And at that point we said, you know, maybe we'll go get something to eat. And then left. And I just couldn't get it out of my head. And I was trying to rationalize what it could have been, but it was a college dorm. There were no little kids on campus in that building. We went down the hallway, we looked up and down, there was no one there, and went back to her room. And she told me, she said, yeah, we hear stuff like that all the time, but that was the first time that she had heard kids. There's a lot. And Lawrence is one of those towns that it was burnt down to the ground and then rebuilt. So there are a lot of ghosts, a lot of paranormal sightings that have been there. So it's not surprising with that one. And then later on, I was at a party in downtown Lawrence at a friend of a friend's, and the apartment was a former speakeasy for Susan B. Anthony. And it was this beautiful apartment that had been remodeled. It was a walk-up, had this like grand entrance, and it looked like you were walking into this meeting hall where she had her living room. And then off to the right was the kitchen, and then the bedrooms were in the corner. So it's this huge, big space. And I didn't really know anyone because the rest of my friends hadn't arrived yet. So I decided that I was going to sit down on the futon, and there's nothing behind the futon. It's just the futon in the middle of the room, and I'm sitting there and I have my arm, you know, just up on the back of the couch, and I'm just kind of people watching to see if my friends are going to come in. And then all of a sudden I feel something go like this, like like fingertips along the back of my arm. And I look and I was like, okay, who is playing a trick on me? Like, what is going on? Like, I look, there's nothing there. I mean, this house, this apartment is really old. There are no ceiling fans. So it's, I wasn't under a vent. Like, there was nothing that could have caused that. But I was like, okay, this is a freak out. It's fine. I'm just going to sit here. And then they moved to the other arm and it happens again. And look again, there's no one there. Okay, I'm just going to wait this out. I officially believe in these things now. So let's just go with it and see where it goes from here. I feel someone playing with my ear. And then if you can see, like, so I have curly hair. And so they were kind of twisting one of my ringlets with their finger and then they blew in my ear.
Stop.
So I was being flirted with by someone invisible.
I cannot even fathom that.
Probably somebody from like the 50s when it was okay to flirt with people.
Right.
Exactly. When it, yeah. Yeah, before me too. You know,
yeah. We used to be able to just follow people home and throw rocks at their window until they married you. Exactly. You know?
All of those things.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah. I'm curious. So, with the hearing the children's footsteps, was there a defining feature of that sound that cued you in that it was children?
Because it sounded like smaller footsteps, and they were running back and forth, and it seemed like gait seemed like it was too small to be people. And then the more and more research that I did on the school and how they had been boarding schools for young First Nations families, boys and girls, kids, I made the connection after doing some research. So that made a lot of sense to me of who it would be. And then in talking to my friend and talking to her friends who had either gone to the school or had graduated, they heard the same thing oftentimes. Mm. We would see things, but we didn't see anything. We just heard it.
Do you share this opinion with me that children ghosts are just way, way creepier and spookier?
100%
than adult ghosts.
100%. 100%. And it's also, I think it's the, you know, being a mom, it's also the heart-wrenching factor because you're like, you don't want to think about ghosts as children. You want to think of them as adults. And so it's even scarier to know that they're still around, they're still here because they weren't able to cross over or they're just, you know, trying to figure out what their purpose is. And so that always breaks my heart. But yes, 100%. Child ghosts are incredibly creepy because you think about it from a maturity standpoint, when if they die really young, they more than likely weren't able to mature. And so the way that they're communicating with us is the only way that they know how to.
So how would you, just in general, explain to someone what a ghost is? Is it someone trapped? Is it someone in time continuum kind of stuff? Explain your theory.
Yes, yes, and yes. So I've had entities to where I have very vivid dreams where I've had loved ones who have come to me and even talked to me about giving me warnings, talked to me about different things. And so I think there's that presence where they're there, but they come to you when you're most open. And so there's that, but then you also have the physical entities. There was a grandmother when we lived in Pittsburgh who she was in their basement. She didn't want them selling the house that we were walking around looking at. That I think is that physical manifestation of an actual being that was hanging on to their house for dear life, not wanting to leave. So the unfinished business of whatever she had. But then I also think that, you know, when you have times of intense emotion, then it can create these things that may seem like ghosts, almost like the poltergeist or this intense energy that then can manifest into something else. So I think that there are a bunch of different things that they could be. And then there's also, you know, memories. So this memories and time that have just been kind of on a loop that end up getting stuck. So I think it can be a bunch of different things.
Kind of like deja vu in a way. Fascinating. Yeah. On the opposite side of that, what would you tell someone important things about their life or how to, you know, continue in their life to avoid becoming a ghost when they die?
Yeah. So,
or do you want to avoid it?
You know, I think it's one of those things that for a long time, I wasn't sure if there was life after death. I'm still not entirely sure. I grew up Jewish. And so there was never really this, we don't believe in hell. And so there was never really this idea, you know, heaven or hell. It's just kind of like, you're here, you're gone. You try to do everything you can in this lifetime so that you are a mensch, you're a good person, and then you go on. But then after having all the experience I've had, you know, it's hard to refute it.
Right.
But I would say, you know, you try to do the best that you can in this lifetime, but inevitably it's very possible you could have unfinished business, even if you try to. I mean, if you try to do everything you can, I mean, if you have an untimely death and you're not able to do the things that you want to do.
One of the stories that you had mentioned in the email I was really interested in was the one about the veterinarian. Can you share that with us?
Oh, yeah. So when we lived in Pittsburgh, we moved and we have a dog. He is now, hard to believe, he's 12. No, he's 11. He's 11. Mm-hmm. He's a Yorkie Poodle Shih Tzu mix. And we had moved and he had never been around like ticks or anything. And we had let him out in the backyard. And of course, within the first 5 minutes of putting his foot down on the grass, he got a tick. And we're like, what do we do? It's like 9 o'clock at night. There are no vets open that we know of. And so we were talking to our neighbors across the street who also had dogs. And they said, you know, your neighbor two houses down is a vet. And like, oh, great. Well, maybe we'll go knock on his door and we'll see if he's okay with helping us. He was, and we found out that he was at a practice that we were planning on joining. And so he then became Manny's vet. We had a really great relationship. He was one of these really kind, nice guy, would kind of do anything for you. Whenever Manny had a procedure, he was sick, he would bring him stuff home for us from the office. So we didn't have to make the trip. So he was just he's one of the kindest people. And so we had taken Manny in to get some teeth pulled, and we had seen him, we had seen the vet, and he just wasn't looking as you know, we normally saw him. He looked tired. We just figured it was during the holidays, so he was probably just really overworked. And we had picked up Manny, and he was kind of drowsy after getting some teeth pulled, got him home. We were getting ready to go to bed, and I woke up probably around 2 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know what, something woke me up, and I looked at the foot of the bed into the doorway, and I saw Manny he's got his ears fold over, but then when he hears something, they're at attention, they're standing straight up. And so he is staring at the door with me, and I see our vet walk by our door. He looks at Manny, they acknowledge each other, he smiles, and then he continued walking on. And I look at Manny and I said, what? Okay, all right, this has to be a dream. And my husband's asleep, and I don't really think anything of it. And then the next morning we find out that he died that night.
What?
He had been battling an illness that no one knew about, and he succumbed, and he died around 10 o'clock that night. So he was visiting all of the pets that he took care of on our street one last time before he passed on.
Wow. First off, I'm always captivated by these stories, clearly, because I have never experienced anything like that. Noah, other than Jawas,
yeah,
you have not either.
No, nothing like that.
That's so sweet. If he's going around saying goodbye to all the animals, you know how you go for a walk? I'm assuming everybody does this.
Yeah.
And you see a dog and you only talk to the dog and you don't talk to the owner.
Yeah.
The vet only talked, like, he didn't even want to say bye to you, or he was just like, your dog, I came for Manny.
No, 100%. I mean, whenever we saw him, even when he was alive, it was like, you know, Manny was his friend. He would talk to him first. He'd like you know, crouch down, he'd, you know, rub his head, and he would talk to him. So they had a very special relationship, clearly.
Did you ever find out if, or figure out if you were asleep or awake? Either way, it's amazing because he died. I mean,
I was definitely awake. I was definitely awake because I couldn't go back to sleep after that.
Wow.
So it was like, okay, and I looked at my phone, I was like, okay, wait, what is going on? And I was pinching yourself. You're like, okay, is this really like, you know, hitting yourself in the face?
And it was just,
I was awake.
And were the lights on? Like you could tell it was him, you could see him.
Yeah. And it was crazy because it was, you know, they say that when someone passes and they pass on, that usually when you see them, they are in the state when you first met them or where they're no longer in pain. And he just looked so happy and he just looked so healthy. And it reminded me of when we first met him.
That's
that he was, seemed to be at peace.
That's really lovely.
I do find it interesting how there are like two types of people. One type who talks to dogs and, you know, animals in general, cats, like they're people, you know, like you just have full on conversations. And there are the other people who just stare at you like, what are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? And I'm happy that I fall on the side that has like full on conversations with yes. my dogs. But I've definitely seen people who just don't get it. Or they'll be like, you know, I got a dog last week. Dogs are pretty great. I'm like, yeah, where have you been for 40 years? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, it's the relationship is so important because Manny has been, I mean, I rely a lot on him. He's kind of his sense. And so if he's acting in a certain way, I always follow him. And he was our first baby. So, you know, he was our child before we had our human child.
It always, I mean, everybody that has an animal has those moments where the dog or cat is like following something and you're like, is it a bug? Is it something we can't hear?
Yeah.
And if I ever sleep by myself in the bed, my cat Matt, who is attached to my hip, is in the bed, like on guard. I have to sleep with the door cracked or closed because it freaks me out to see like a wide open black space. And the other night he was just like at attention, ears up. I mean, it was regular bedtime. There were no noises. The lights were off. The only thing I could think is the vacuum was in the kitchen. He's scared of vacuums, but either he saw the vacuum or something was out there. But anyways, that's amazing. Cause then you have Manny who is like a second.
Yeah.
I mean, you sound like a medium to me. I don't know about, you know, but everything you're very sensitive to that world. And I feel like animals are the same. So it's almost like you and Manny have this communication about that side of the world, which is a whole other podcast about animals and their intuition. But I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah. I'm like, I say I'm like medium ish. Cause I can't really control when I get messages, they just kind of happen. But yeah, it's definitely, definitely interesting.
So you said that you have seen, you know, more than one apparition. And I know it kind of, you said it, that started happening once you got a little older in life. What were some of the other ghosts or spirits that you have seen?
So there's a two-parter. So I also definitely believe that, you know, whether it's spirits, whether it's our heightened intuition, whether it's certain things. When I was in school, we went to Kansas City to go salsa dancing at our favorite club. And I didn't drink when I was in college and I don't really drink a lot now, but I was always the designated driver. And hopefully my mom is not hearing this, but we would drive back at like, I drive us back at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was an hour drive from Kansas City to Lawrence. And I'll never forget. There was one time that I was driving and all of it, it's pitch black. We were on the hi-fi. So it's really high up on the highway. And something yelled at me, but quietly, get over. You need to get over in your into the next lane. And in front of, to the side of me was a buck. And had we stayed in that lane, I would have hit that buck head on.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Wow. And for those who may not know, a buck is a male deer.
a very tall male deer.
A yes. Buck naked man.
Buck naked man. That too. I mean, it's very possible.
I don't know. I mean, I know our podcast, like there are people in a bunch of different countries and stuff too. I was just thinking like that may be one of those words that doesn't translate.
That's true. A very, very tall deer that would have done a lot of damage to my car and myself and my passengers.
And that's such an unsettling feeling when you see, because I grew up in the Southeast, and even where we just moved, maybe last week, I would say, I was leaving my home, and I almost hit a doe, which is a female deer, that was rather large.
Female deer, right?
It's something about, you know, it's kind of majestic when you see them late at night like that to step out on the road, but it's super scary because it's dangerous.
Yeah. For sure.
So, did I miss? Are you from Kansas?
No, I'm from Dallas.
Okay, no, I remember you saying.
But that. I went to school in Kansas. Spent a lot of time in Kansas.
JJ's from Kansas. Nice. McPherson.
I feel like JJ always misses the episodes when we have Kansas.
He always does. I know. It sounds like Lawrence.
Yeah.
Is like maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours from where he grew up. So
nice.
That's a far away in Kansas terms, I think.
It is, for 100%, yeah.
It took me like a year and a half of episodes to realize that JJ didn't grow up Amish. I don't know why, I just convinced myself. And after saying it on like 4 episodes, I was finally like, okay, he didn't grow up Amish.
Almost like Mennonite adjacent-ish.
Yeah.
That's
how he would probably describe it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you had this disembodied voice that told you to get out of the way.
I had to move over, got out of the way. There's that. As far as like the full-on apparitions, I think probably the one that was the craziest was actually in Kansas. It was in Lawrence. it's a lot in Lawrence, at the Eldridge Hotel. It is one of the most haunted hotels in the city.
That sounds so familiar.
Eldridge, it's beautiful. Hotel. The Eldridge is famous. It's a really cool hotel. And I stayed there with my mom. I was moving back to Texas, and we were staying there before we were driving back from Kansas to Texas. And I went out to get ice, and I see this woman, like, as clear as I'm seeing both of you, she's in a wedding dress and she's crying.
No, what happened?
And so I walked over and I was walking towards her. And I said, "Are you okay? Can I help you?" And I was trying to engage with her, and she looked at me and then walked into the wall.
Oh gosh.
Oh.
Maybe she was just late for Hogwarts.
Stop.
Yes. And I get back and I didn't get ice. Needless to say.
Wait, that sounds like when we had Amanda on the podcast, and she was like, "This guy was going really slow when I held the door for him, then he just walked through the door." Like, you guys, how can you not tell they are ghosts? I will never understand.
Well, like I said, I mean, she looked. I mean, she wasn't transparent until she went through the wall. Walked in, like, "Mom, I just saw a woman in a wedding dress, and she was crying." And she's like, "Oh, okay. Is she okay?" I was like, "She's a ghost."
You would
see.
Little witch. Did she give you any, like, looks? Like, "Get away from me," or "You don't know me."
I mean, it was really tragic. Like, I couldn't, and I asked the front desk, and they didn't have a backstory on her. Either they did or they just weren't going to share. But to me, it kind of seemed, from the vibe that I got from her intuitively, with the story that I was putting together for her, was that she was jilted and something happened. And either she killed herself or something happened to the person that she was going to marry. And
so you've had all these experiences. Does it always kind of shock you a little bit when they still happen? Or have you kind of gotten to where you accept that this is part of your life?
I think I'm pretty accepting at this point. It's kind of, you know, my friends will introduce me as Little Witch, La Brujita, and then they'll also be like, "Yeah, she's that person. If you want to talk to her about ghost stories, you know, she does tarot reading. She does all sorts of things." I'm the weird but fun friend. And my husband thinks it's really entertaining. For example, we went to Michigan. I was working for a school in Pittsburgh, and I was recruiting at a university in Michigan. And my husband's from Michigan, and he decided that he wanted to take me to his old neighborhood. What he didn't tell me was that there were a lot of people that were murdered in his neighborhood.
Oh gosh. Feels like something he should have told you sooner.
I thought it would be fun to see if I felt anything without telling me.
Mm.
And I did. And I got out of the car and I looked at him and I said, "This is not funny." I felt like I was being, like, pulled across the street. I was standing in the middle of the street, like, pulled across the street to an empty lot behind me. And so, you know, found out there are a bunch of people that were killed and buried in the forest back there. There was a lot of really bad negative energy, and he knew all about it. I'm like, "Why did you bring me here?" He's like, "I wanted you to see where I grew up." And I was like, "Yes, and clearly we're a bunch of people, you know." So it's stuff like that where, you know, I think he has a really good sense of humor about it. And I have a pretty good sense of humor about it. It's one of those that I have the ability to say that if I don't want to experience things, I can ask for it.
But and you have a young child. How are you or will you explain to your child these gifts that you have?
Good question.
So that's a great question. And actually, she is very gifted herself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So she's 5, and she has an amazing relationship with my grandfather, who passed away before she was born.
Hmm.
So he told me, I had a dream when I was pregnant that he was going to protect her and be with her for the rest of her life. And she's named after him. And she would see him. She'd see him. He would walk her down the stairs so that she wouldn't fall down the stairs. She would point to him at a very young age and say, "Abuelo, abuelo." Like, she would recognize him and she would light up when she saw pictures of him. And until like Coco, Encanto, like these movies just kind of like solidified for her that they were no longer living. And so now she understands. But for the longest time, she thought my grandfather lived in a different house and he would just come visit. And she and I were the only, but didn't realize that she and I were the only ones that could see him.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really special. That's so special.
Yeah, thank you. So I don't want her to be afraid of it. And so I, you know, just try to explain it to her in the best way that I can. I don't want her to be scared. I want her to feel protected. And so I also make sure that, you know, when I do cleansings of our home, that I make sure that I double cleanse for her room and for her playroom and areas that she spends the most time in, to make sure that it's only positive, loving, supportive energy.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, you're talking to two people whose inner children need to be healed and not so fearful of death, right, Noah?
Absolutely. Yeah. Number one fear. Well, used to be my number one fear before I had a kid. Now I just worry about all the things that come with having a kid all the time. But second on that list is death, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it's normal. I mean, I do too. I mean, I know that, yeah, there's a possibility that there is something after life. But we don't know for sure because we're all still here.
Well, that's interesting because you're right. A 15 on the scale. So what is it that is keeping you from taking that leap?
I think it's that, you know, unknowing of who it happens to, you know, like you have to wonder.
Why are you not seeing ghosts everywhere?
All the time. Exactly. Right. Why am I only seeing certain people? And I know that I'm super sensitive. And so for me, it makes sense to me that I see people more often. I don't get to choose who I see. And so when I've asked, you know, so why are you still around? It's that they're still here, but they're here because they want to help. But I'm not keeping them here, because that was the thing that I was the most concerned with, is when I would hear from my loved ones who have passed on, you know, why are you still here? Like, am I keeping you here? Because I don't want to keep you here. And I'm like, no, we're where we are, and where we are is wonderful. But, you know, we still want to check in.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, I guess it's just difficult. I mean, I don't think necessarily we will probably ever have those answers 100%. I know there are people that believe that they have a real grasp on what happens, whether they are people that are, you know, truly religious, you know, that preach or whatnot, or, you know, even mediums that we've had on our podcast that feel like they have a pretty good grasp on what happens after we pass. But because it is something that is experienced by people who are no longer here, I think even if you have a little skepticism, it's probably hard to dive into full belief, which I know that for myself, this podcast has made me a believer in ghosts, but I still, you know, gun to my head, if I had to click yes or no, do I believe? I don't know if I could click yes because of the unknown factor. That's a little hard for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I can click yes pretty intensely on our human brains just cannot fully grasp this universe and this world and all the things that happen in it. That's where my hard yes is. I don't know if I can label it a specific thing. That's definitely greater than anything we've discovered, or maybe it has been discovered and we don't know about it yet.
Exactly. I mean, I think that it's very possible to believe that there is something after life, but you just don't know exactly what it is. So it's hard to definitively say what it is because we don't know what it is, but there has to be something
for
them to these individuals to keep coming back. And so, it's hard to really say definitively. Right. Yes or no.
And in that same conversation, I know a lot of people are really confident in naming it. And that's beautiful too, because once it has a name, whether it be like your religion or this or that or ghost or, you know, whatever it is for you, in my head, it's all the same. And you're able to hone in like your mindset towards it, your prayers towards it, your energy towards yeah. it. And that makes it really greater for you in your heart, which I think is beautiful.
Thank you.
I feel like the three of us could talk really deeply about this stuff for a while. It feels so good to talk about it. I don't know.
Well, as we are kind of getting up on our time, is there a final story you wanted or a thought you wanted to leave our audience with?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I would say probably one of my favorites most recently actually happened on New Year's Day. So when I was little, so I'm Cuban, and my grandfather would, he was not the best cook. He would like make me eggs. Boiled eggs when I would stay with them. But I've been drinking coffee since I was little. My mom actually put it in my bottle, which explains a lot. So he taught me how to make Cuban coffee. And I was thinking about him and how much I missed him. And we had been talking about him. And my daughter and I were going to play some dominoes, and because that's his favorite game. And I made my coffee. And I sat down and I was about to take a sip, and our back door slammed open and slammed close. And I was like, Feliz Año Nuevo, abuelo. Happy New Year.
Oh my goodness.
You sure it wasn't just all the sugar in the coffee?
I mean, it's very possible. It's very possible.
I was just, because Cuban coffee is so good. I didn't realize how much sugar was in that shot of Cuban coffee.
Because it's so strong, you need to have a little bit. But it was kind of one of those, like, normally if my back door slams open and closed, I would probably freak out. But it was one of those, like, okay, I get it. You're here. Yeah. You've made your presence known. Happy New Year to you, too.
Does that feel true to his personality?
I definitely think that, you know, he was very much in life. I got really upset when I didn't hear from him a lot after he passed, because I would hear from other people, and I was convinced that because we were so close that I was going to hear from all the time, and I didn't. And I would only hear from him in times when I really needed him. If I was having like a medical procedure, or if I was scared, or if I was having something major happen in my life, he was there. Which was very much how he was when he was in life. And I had been seeing my therapist, and we were talking about it. And she said, you know, I don't know what you would think that he would change in death to how he was in life. Because I wouldn't say he was hands off, but he wanted to be respectful. I didn't ever feel like he was bothering me. Mm-hmm. So I think this one was just kind of like, all right, I'm here. I want to say hello. Hello, goodbye.
I figured out how to communicate.
I figured out how to open the door.
And this is how we're doing it.
And I honestly could picture him, because I almost feel like it closed a lot louder than he wanted it to. So I could almost see his face being like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make that much noise.
So as being a Cuban individual, did you grow up with both Catholic and Jewish influence, or how did that work for you?
So my ancestors are from Spain. They were in Spain during the Spanish Inquisition. And so they decided, instead of converting or dying, they decided they were going to leave. So they were Jewish. So my family are Spanish Jews from Spain.
Oh, wow.
And they went from Turkey to Cuba, Cuba to the United States. And then United States is where we are.
That's so cool. Yeah, I have been lucky enough to have several Cuban friends that moved to Atlanta from Miami. So I've gotten to know a lot about, you know, like Cuban culture and things that I wasn't aware of prior. And one of the things I found interesting is, you know, they'll like have their homes blessed when they move into a home and things of that nature. And that wasn't something I was aware of before getting to know them. So that's really cool.
Yeah. If you see my wall, so I have evil eyes and Hamsa's, hand of God, Hamsa's, I have them everywhere. I have them on every We have a mezuzah on every outward facing door. Mm-hmm. We have Hamsa's evil eyes all over the house, just because you can never have too much protection.
That's beautiful. Mm.
Yeah.
Chain, stickers, car magnets, all of it.
Seriously, all the things.
Good. I like it.
Bracelet. I mean, you know, everywhere.
Well, is there anywhere that our audience can reach out to you if they want to contact you about this episode? Sure. Or anything you want to promote?
Yeah, I do. So I have a couple different things that I do. I have been reading tarot cards for about 12 years. I do oracle readings. I do virtual readings. I also do coaching. So I've been had a lot of my friends come out of the woodwork and say, hey, I've been feeling these things and experiencing these things. And I have been noticing that there are more abilities than there are just experiences. And so I actually started doing more spiritual coaching. So I've been working with a lot of people to kind of help them to discover their gifts, to talk through what the future could look like, answer questions. So that's something that I've been doing, which I've been loving. But I have one of my clients was like, you know, you should be on Instagram. And I was like, oh, I guess I should be on Instagram. I don't know. So I just started an Instagram page. It's Intuitive Readings with Mel. And my email address is on there if anyone has any questions. But yeah, I'm always happy to chat with anyone if they have questions about my experiences or if they want to. I love to hear ghost stories. I'm hoping to host a virtual ghost story session with some friends in October for spooky season.
Fun. That sounds amazing.
We love spooky season.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah.
Not every day, but it, you know, specifically spooky season of October.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Kat, did you have any more questions before we get out?
I don't think so, but I do feel like you're going to be the kind of person we want to bring back on.
Please do. Yeah.
About like recent, since this happens all the time and it will seemingly continue to happen for you. So would love to stay in touch.
Yeah.
Really appreciate you sharing these stories.
Of course. Thank you so, so much. This has been so wonderful. Like I said, ghost stories are like one of my favorite things in the world. And I love being able to share what I've experienced. And, you know, for those out there who have experienced things, it can be really scary. And my message to anyone is that it is scary, but there's usually a reason behind it. And just as so many of people that you've brought on have said, it's also the energy you put towards it. So the more scared you are, you're going to have more than likely a response. So I'm always happy to chat with anyone about their experiences as well.
With that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Kat.
I'm Melanie.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.